All right, guys, so we got Joe here talking about, you know, programming and what we got going on this week. So, Joe, you want to throw out, introduce yourself?
Hey, what's going on? Joe Blumenauer. Really nobody special. Just been coaching and training here in town for a long time. Been known Matt for a long time. Got programming I do, Stay Relentless Athletics. Work with CrossFit athletes and actually a couple athletes and from... just from other sports. So that's it.
That's all we got. So what do you guys got programmed this week? What is your stimulus this week?
Man, we're about 6 weeks into the current cycle we're on. We've been experimenting with some heavy lifting in the Olympic lifts, and actually we've been doing hitting like the longer cardio pieces. I'm trying to work with the two of those at the same time and see what kind of results I get. And it's actually been really good. So we're kind of, I guess you would say, on a deload week lifting wise. We've been about 75% because we've been going heavy. We've done waves the last 3 weeks. So early this week we're just at like 75% for some triples, 5 or 6 sets depending on the day, what we're talking about. We're squatting, front squatting with the bands right now, which is always, it's always nice because it's lighter and we just try to move the bar fast, and it really doesn't, I feel like you get a lot out of it and it doesn't beat up the athletes, so I don't get a lot of complaints. I get some complaints when we're doing it, but I don't get complaints afterwards of like how beat up people are. They don't necessarily enjoy that part of the training because it's a little tough. You really got to focus on what you're doing, but they don't get beat up as much. But I think the biggest thing I've seen in this portion of our training is, like I said, the cardio. It's something I think programming-wise might have been a weakness of mine, hitting, you know, these longer aerobic pieces. And I've been trying to sneak them into the training in a creative way, and it's gone really well.
Yeah, that's been my weakness. Like when we do our competition programming, we do the longer cardio pieces, we've seem to have no problem hitting. For me, it's like the sprint cardio pieces where I need to, that's where I find my weakness as a programmer, just doing the sprint cardio pieces. I need to throw them in a whole lot more than I do the long cardio pieces.
See, I think that's where I've kind of hit a sweet spot right now. I'm going like 2 days a week where we're in that 20 to 30 minute range. Maybe we might have even gone over 30 minutes here or there, where the goal will be to, like, whether it's just on the machines or if it's just a running piece. I've done some mixed modality stuff with it, but I won't put in anything that's crazy technique wise or anything that will slow somebody down or frustrate them. It'll just be a movement that I know everybody can do, you know, with minimal stress as far as the mentality goes. And I just, the goal will be like, hey, try to make these, say it's 5 rounds, and I know that 5 rounds is going to be in the 28 to 35 minute range. It'll, like, try to make every round as close to possible as the same.
Yeah.
Like, start off at a pace you know you can hold on. I'd rather see them speed up at the end than die out, you know?
Yeah.
That's a mistake I've made forever. And then we've, like you say, sprint cardio piece, that's kind of what I've been doing on the alternate days. We'll do, like, every 3 minutes for 6 rounds, or 3 minutes on, 2 minutes off for 4 rounds. And the goal will be to go hard and hit, you know, to go hard in that sprint cardio period, but same thing, be able to recover and repeat.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're helping each other. Those two pieces together, these last 6 weeks, I feel like I've seen a lot of progress, and I've got a lot of good feedback from the people I'm working with, so.
Yeah, I mean, this time of year is actually a good time of year for programming-wise. I actually have something to program for. I know we got several competitions lined up. We talked about Mayhem on the Mountain coming up in a week and a half, pretty much a week from now, yeah. And then we got, we're doing Top of the Box the week after that. And then we got Music City Throwdown coming up. So it allows me to really dial in my programming because now I can see what we're programming for.
Yeah.
I know, you know, as you get to the fall, winter time frame, everybody's worried about the open and you have no idea what's coming in the open.
Yep.
You may have that short, fast Metcon. You may have 3 long Metcons.
Yep.
But that's the hardest part for me as a programmer is once we get around that time frame. So this is the time frame of programming I love, because now I know what I need to focus it on, focus and dial it in on. A lot of these workouts for Mayhem on the Mountain are pretty long, though. Either long or they're really heavy, one or the other.
Yep. See, there's two of us doing Mayhem on the Mountain. Well, actually three, because AJ's doing individual. But that one, when I look at those workouts, I don't really panic, or I really don't feel like I need to change much either, because those workouts just kind of seem to fit what we do.
Fall right in line with what you're programming for.
Yeah, and kind of what, I guess, what I favor, what I lean towards more, you know, whether you want to or you don't want to. Everybody has their own little stuff that they lean towards or favor. And then top of the box, we have one athlete doing top of the box. There's some stuff we have to focus on there. There's a lot of different types of skills and stuff like that. And
it's just a lot of workouts in that one to really program around. So
yeah,
if you focus too much on one, you're going to screw yourself over for the others.
Yeah, I feel like you should kind of be prepared going into quote-unquote competition season. Like, you know, I feel like I do a pretty good job of keeping my people prepared to go compete. But then when the workouts come out, you're like, okay, so-and-so absolutely needs to work on this, right? Whatever it might be. And then it's just a matter of, like you said, how much time do you have to fit in what you need to work on? You're not going to be able to get – it's not going to be perfect.
Best way to do it is just do that hashtag mixed modality crap.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Stupid mixed modality stuff. So leading on with that, just got off the 2021 game season just ended. What were your thoughts this year on the games? What'd you like?
I liked a lot of it. I can tell you what I didn't like first. I guess it's kind of a mix. The whole freestanding handstand walk thing.
Freestanding handstand push-ups?
Yeah, I think here's my thoughts on that. When you look at it from a CrossFitter's aspect, and you know, kind of long-term CrossFitters like us, we could look at that and say, man, you know, that is actually pretty cool to see these people can do these heavy deadlifts and then pop right up on their hands and do a ridiculous skill like that under fatigue. God only knows how many workouts they were into the competition. I don't even remember what number workout that was.
I got it right here because I got mine. I nerded out the other day and I printed it all off.
Man.
Yeah, that was event 14. That was the second to last
so
event.
So there you go. That makes it even more impressive, right? So like when you look at it from inside the sport, I think it's great. And then it also could show people like, hey, these people are different animals, right? They're the elite of the elite. And then maybe it could give it more of a perspective to people in the gym who maybe do workouts they shouldn't be doing. You could look at people like this and be like, all right, these are different animals. Maybe I can understand why I need to scale something sometimes and not get, you know, butthurt about it. So looking at it that way, I think it was really cool just to kind of show like, wow, that's pretty amazing. But on the other hand, when I look at that workout, I understand why when someone who's not in the CrossFit world puts on the CrossFit games and sees that, then we get that outlook at, oh, look at CrossFit, look how stupid they are, they're walking around dropping on their necks, that's why everybody gets hurt. So you know, when you're on that big stage and we're trying to maybe grow and bring people in from the outside, or maybe we're not, maybe we just don't really care about how many people like what we do or what their opinion is. So I guess that would be my biggest like and dislike of the comp, was all in that one workout. I thought one end of the spectrum, I thought it was awesome, and the other end of the spectrum, I was like, this might be why we get a bad rap.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but the thing, see, I looked at it as a way of like the way athletes were able to just out of nowhere. No one trains freestanding hands push-ups. No one does. Like, I mean, maybe to mess around, but that's about it. The fact that they just came in and still dominated the event, like everybody just figured out how to do freestanding handstand push-ups just on the fly like that, was pretty damn impressive, if you ask me. And every year he throws in events like that 99.99% of us should never even try.
Yep.
And that's one of them. Like, there's no reason for you to be going out there and slamming your head into the ground for that many reps. It's just not even worth it. Like, yeah. there's no training value for most of us,
yep.
you know, other than to see what athletes are capable of doing. That, like I said, these guys coming out on the fly doing freestanding handstand pushups was pretty amazing to watch.
Now, Vellner did real well in that, didn't he?
Vellner did real well, yeah.
Because I think it's funny you said that, like, nobody trains that. They asked him afterwards, and I think he said he hasn't done one in, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, it was something crazy. I might be off, but I was like, wow, that just shows how good these people are. Like, he hasn't even messed around with those in that long, and he goes out in a workout like that, and I think he was one of the top finishers.
He was. And, you know, I think, in my personal opinion, this year's programming for the games was some of my favorite programmed events.
What was your favorite?
My favorite event? Oh, man. So I'm torn between the event 2 with the pig flips and the muscle ups, and then the very final event, which I thought was better than the final of last year. Again, because the final of last year, most athletes should not be trying. That's the Atlanta workout with the yep. 100 handstand pushups, 200 pistols, 300 pull-ups, all in a weight vest. Most athletes don't need to be worrying about events
See,
like that, you know?
And the role with that, like you said, most people, and I think that's why he did it last year, because there was only, 10 people total there?
Yeah, so right? just seeing what they're capable of doing.
He knew he had the best of the yep. best. He didn't even have the lower end of the best. He had the best of the
exactly,
best.
Exactly, yeah. My favorite event, though, has to be the event 15, where he just had the row, the chest to bars, and then the walking lunges. And then it was just, I was there, it was just exciting to watch. Like, you get guys, it's a 600-meter row, that's a sprint.
Yep.
You got to go, you know? And obviously it's easier for me to say sitting in the stands than watching, but, I mean, you just saw that Medeiros wanted it more than everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go hard on the row. You're talking about 90 chest to bar pull-ups. Most of those athletes, 90 chest to bar pull-ups is not something that's outside their realm of possibility.
Yeah.
You know, and you just can't come off the pull bar. You always got to do one extra rep. Every time you want to come off, just do one more. It's just one of those things that you have to do if you want to win, if you have that mentality. And then the walking lunges, so you got to see all three modalities tested and all relative sprint, you know?
You know what I thought? Let me ask you this. With that workout, because I didn't pay attention to, like, the standards on that workout, I think I partially watched it, but it was exciting to watch. But they had to do a certain amount of pull-ups on each bar and go to the next one,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
See, that's the one thing that I disliked. I would have liked to have seen, if it was just one pull-up bar, like, what these athletes would have done. Like, they could jump up there and do 50, 60, like, whatever they wanted. It didn't have to be 20, move to the next one, 20, move to the next one. I would like to have seen them come off that rower, boom, who's going to get up there and do a ridiculous set of chest to bar. I think that could have made it a little more exciting.
See, I think it's from a spectator's perspective, I like it moving up only because
you, knew exactly
you always know who's in the lead.
Yep.
You know, you always see where they are standing. Now, yeah, I can see. Yeah, if you go fit, it's a big difference when you're forced to break them up than when you can just hold on for another couple more reps.
Yeah.
You know, so that does play a factor. But, I mean, from a spectator's perspective, it's fun to watch
Makes
them
sense.
Progress their way up the line.
Makes total sense.
And then the lunges at the end, you had the back rack lunges. Who went straight from back rack to front rack?
That was
you know,
cool.
That
was
you
cool.
see so many people drop the bar and then transition to the front rack. Tia, Medeiros, they didn't stop.
Yep.
They just flipped it right to the front rack and went straight into that next set of lunges. And that was impressive, to say the least, at a 185 lunging. Especially with all that adrenaline.
Yeah, they make it look like a joke.
You know, that was probably the most exciting event of the weekend to watch. But, you know, I thought it was a very well-tested event. I think Medeiros proved that he was, and obviously Tia, I mean, there's no real talk about Tia anymore.
Yeah.
She's just that dominant. But Medeiros proved that he was the best guy on the floor this year. So it was exciting to watch him do that. I did a tally at the end. You had 4 long workouts, you had 3 moderate workouts, and you had 8 short workouts, you know, sub 10 minutes. And again, that's where you want to see it as far as a CrossFit programming is concerned. You had the medallies, you had 9 gymnastics workouts, or 9 gymnastics movements through the whole weekend, 9 monostructural, 11 weightlifting. And then you had 7 couplets, 5 triplets, and 3 singular movement events. So, I mean, it's a well-balanced program. Like, you definitely, in my opinion, saw who the best of the best were.
Yeah.
For the weekend.
The one of the things that I thought was the coolest was the amount of different ways they tested the running.
The
550 meter sprint. I mean, all out. Those dudes were hauling. Then you had the runs with the cleans.
Yep.
Which was super cool to see because, you know, some guys have to run a little bit slower because that barbell's a little bit heavier. But if you're a stronger athlete, you could push your run and you're not that worried about picking it up, right? So that makes it a completely different workout. And then you had the long run with the total bar. Oof. It was a 5K, right?
It comes out to 3 miles, yeah. So just
and then these guys are running like 6 minute paces or less than 6 minute paces with all these total bar, and it was ridiculous.
Man, I tested that workout. That was one of the first workouts. I always like to test these workouts, and I went and did that one a couple weeks ago, and that thing utterly, like, I remember saying it shouldn't be too bad because I run every morning, so 3 miles shouldn't be too bad for me. And then 90 toes bar, I'm a light guy, so 90 toes bar shouldn't be too bad. Man, then I started looking at their times, and I was like, I'm fucked. I'm screwed. And it took me 37 minutes to do that whole workout, and these guys are just doing it in 21 minutes, 22 minutes. I was like, holy crap, these guys.
That was super impressive. Like, as you know, like, coaching, and one of the biggest conversations you have with athletes, and when it, you know, even your quote-unquote competitive, maybe stronger, more experienced athletes is total bar in a workout. How should I split them up? Like, don't matter what you're doing, a lot of times you're talking about splitting up total bar because it's just something that can go to failure fairly easy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and these guys are running at that pace, hopping up, doing those total bar like it was nothing. It's crazy to watch. Guys and girls, I keep saying guys, but it was super impressive to see what those athletes did. What I would like to see is, like, the people who won, like, break it down in a chart, like the people who run on the 550 meter run.
Yep.
And where they stood in that compared to what their paces were like in the running and clean workout.
Yeah.
Just to see the difference in the strength athletes and, like, all right, who was able to keep their pace up in this workout compared to
what they did in the other workout, you know? Yep.
Was there somebody who was really fast, but they're, I say, weak for a games athlete compared to some of the other guys? So they had to really kind of slow down on those runs with the cleans. Like, to see a graph of that and see the data on that would be kind of cool. Just to, you know, see where people stand in those different realms of fitness.
Yeah, I mean, I loved, like, going back to that total bar workout, I just love that total bar workout because, again, that's such a simple workout that we all can do. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
If you work out once a day, you can do that workout.
Yep.
And then the next day, you had the freestanding handstand push-up workout. So it's like you went from something relatively simple that everybody should be able to do, especially games athletes, to something that, hey, can they learn this new skill that quickly?
Yep.
You know, so it was actually really exciting to see the difference between the two and how well they did with both those.
I got a question for you before I forget. Because I guess with Daniel Brandon with the COVID. And I heard they were, like, strict with COVID with the athletes, like, in the check-in and all that stuff. How was it with the spectators?
They didn't care.
They didn't care about y'all at all, right? See, that's crazy to me that, and it's not just CrossFit, it's just so many sporting events. They're on top of everybody that's involved, but then they'll let them be surrounded by thousands of people that they're not even checking.
No, yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. It's like a smoke screen.
I felt bad for that girl. They treat her like a leper all weekend. And I get, you know, you got your COVID protocols, you got to stick with your protocols. It does affect an athlete's mental state.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, she cannot celebrate, she cannot do everything that all those other athletes are doing.
Yeah.
And it just mentally just fatiguing.
She won over a lot of people.
A
lot of people that didn't know who she was, now she's like a fan favorite.
Oh, yeah. I saw her, like, I remember watching that handstand walk obstacle course, and I'm watching Katrin. And then on the other end of the arena, she's just flying through the whole damn course. She went unbroken on the whole way down. And I was like, she went from a relative note, like, you never heard of her. I mean, a lot of people only heard of her on the Buttery Bros episode, to someone that is out there killing it.
And I remember so much fun to watch her. At the semifinal this year, whichever one she was at, there was...
I think she was at Granite Games.
Yeah, she was
there. Oh, no, she was down Texas.
The West Coast?
Yeah.
She was there with, like, I think just the two girls she trains with, I think they all are the ones who got sick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They were all at this same, it was crazy to watch. I'm like, man, these three train together every day? That's absurd. Like, there must be some real intense training going on.
And you know, we talked about that in the previous episode. Like, that's another thing a lot of people don't understand. I know a lot of people, they want to be good, so then they isolate themselves in the gym. You know, if you're the best person in your gym, you'll never get better.
Yeah.
You have to get your ass kicked if you want to get better. And even if CrossFit's not your sport, whatever your goals are in life, if you want to be a professor, if you want to be, you know, if you want to be a good doctor, you can't be the best doctor in the room. You have to seek someone that's better than you and get mentored by them.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Louis Simmons talks about that. That's what made Westside. Everyone can do the conjugate method. Everyone can do the maximal effort and dynamic effort method. That's not what makes Westside Barbell so strong. It's the fact that they're all trying to outdo each other every single day.
Yeah.
You know? And again, whether that's your goal in CrossFit or not, like, that's not the point. The point is, whatever endeavors you have in life, you know, seek out those who have more knowledge than you and learn from them.
Man, I agree with that. 1,000%. 1,000%. I've seen that in my other career. I mean, basically, whatever level I get to, I try to find somebody that's above it, you know, and latch on to them or compete with them. You know, you could compete with somebody in a positive way.
You know, like, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why I love doing. I'm a firm believer in doing my own programming. Like, I don't just write something on the whiteboard that I get for the classes and then me do something, do comp train or do misfit or do something else. No, I want to go out there on the floor. I want to see people beat me. Yeah. So that pushes me every morning, Diane, if you're listening. And then I want to be somebody that constantly is trying. Like, if you're just out there by yourself, you're never going to get better. It's going to be boring. You're going to lose interest real quick because you don't know what you're capable of doing.
I think that's something that you know, I'm right there with you in that. And I think that's something that helps me in coaching and asking people to do things that, you know, they might be like, oh my God, this is terrible. Why, you know, but I do it too, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that, and I, you know, and when I do it, I'm by no means am I the best at it, but every day I'm giving it 110%. So, you know, it helps me. I think that helps me get buy-in from people. I could be wrong, but when they see that, I think they're like, all right, this crazy bastard's going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if he's willing to do it, you know, he's not telling us to do it for no reason. So I think that along with the competitive edge and just trying to push people and push myself, I think like what you just said, running a gym and going out there and doing it every day, it helps you get buy-in too.
Yeah.
Like if you're just sitting in here programming every day, sitting in your office not doing it, never going out there and showing the same effort, people aren't going to have the same buy-in.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So,
you know, and that's obviously work for a lot of these athletes out there on the floor these days. They, you know, you had this girl that was, she was obviously really good. I mean, they wouldn't have taken her on, you know, if she didn't have the skills already there. And now she went from a relative, you know, unheard of to somebody that's out there. People are expecting to see great things from her next year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she did really well. She did good in a lot of different things, too, which was cool. Back to that handstand walk workout, since you know, that's how her name came up. The funny part to me is, like, that stuff's not even impressive anymore.
No.
Like, if, obviously, I can't go do it. I can do some of it. Like, I can handstand walk, but by no means, I couldn't even, it would take me an hour to
I'm not doing it in that 5-minute time cap.
Yeah. Like, to get through all the obstacles, it would take me probably like a month to figure out each little thing and get to the next one. But, like, when I watch them do it, it's not even impressive anymore. I'm like, all right. And now we got to stop. It's like, we got the parallettes, we got all that going. Like, at some point, we don't need a handstand walk over anything else.
No.
That makes me a little nervous. Like, what's next? Are we going to start handstand walking on, like, BOSU balls or something? Like, we gotta be a little... Like I said about that freestand handstand push-up. I would, like, the craziness of it at some point, I would like to see cut off.
Yeah.
Because it, like, all right, it's really impressive. These people are super fit. They can do all this gymnastic stuff. They can walk on this, walk on that. We get it. So let's just have them race each other. We don't need to add in something like more unsafe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think we found the limits of what we can handstand walk on. But who knows with Castro? Who knows what they'll be doing next?
Like I said, I like it from the aspect of what are they capable of doing on the fly? What can they just out of nowhere pick it up and go?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's super impressive.
Like I said, I love Castro in the sense that he's always coming up and reevaluating his programming. He talked about, in one of the videos, they asked him, you know, what he thought of the games. He doesn't even say anything. He says, what did you think of the games? Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts of the games? And the guys give their opinions about how they liked it and everything else. And then all he was thinking about was, what could he improve on? And he talked about the event 13. He did not see anybody finishing the yoke walk in the first interval of 2 minutes.
No, dude, they smoked
it. The fact that guys, BKG was like, I mean, I was standing right there at the finish line. The guy was like 2 feet away from finishing the first, you know, on the first interval. And I was like, holy crap, this guy's moving fast.
I was listening to Bergeron, and he said that he thought that had potential to be like one of the best events, but it was just programmed off a tiny bit. And he made a good point. He said if it was 30 GHDs, that would have kind of forced everybody to, because it would have just took that much longer.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have forced everybody to go a couple rounds, mm-hmm. you know. And then when you come back, you're a little more fatigued. But the idea of it was super cool. I love interval pieces like that.
I love interval workouts. Yeah. I got some great ideas for Battle the Lab next year, just based off that idea. Yeah, concept.
I thought that was a great concept. Like I said, and this first time he's really done one that way. So it's just like anything. He'll learn from it. I guarantee you he comes back with a fucking awesome interval piece. People might expect it next year, so he might wait a year. You know him.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's going to be something in that style, and it's going to be like mastered. He's going to master it. It's going to be fun to watch.
Funny story about that one real quick, though. It was that one happened on Sunday. At Saturday night, there was an affiliate owner's workout on the competition floor. And I remember sitting out there, and all the affiliate owners were just out there talking, having a beer, just drinking, and we're all watching them test that event. And we had no idea what the event was. We just saw them test and go really? Back and forth, and we're like, whatever this is, it's going to be miserable. I mean, they're struggling. Yeah. The demo team was struggling. And that was the day, you know, it was after the snatch event where we watched them. The chick hit 215 and the guy hit 305, I believe. And we're all just sitting there like, they're struggling in this event. Holy yeah. crap, this is going to be impressive to watch tomorrow. We had no idea what they were doing, but they were just testing. I mean, and that's what I love about him as a programmer is, you know, especially from programs, he's never done, you know, refining everything.
Yeah.
It was the night before the event. He didn't just say, oh, it's good enough. He's still adding stuff to it, adding stuff. Who knows what he had in his mind or how he tested it beforehand, and now he's testing it some more.
I was going to go somewhere else, but I'm so glad you said that, because when I was working in another gym, I used to have this argument, and people would talk about programming. People throw that fucking word around. Drives me nuts. And they would want to see so many things in advance. And yes, you have a plan. You have a layout. But in my mind, if you have a programming is a living thing. Like you just said, he's refining it the night before,
yeah.
right? He wants it. I change my program for Wednesday on a Tuesday if I feel like, man, when I laid this out, I didn't realize how much that was going to affect
yeah.
people. And I'm lucky because I have a small group and I talk to them every single day, and it's very hands on, so I get a feel for, all right, man, everybody smoked in this area. This ain't going to work tomorrow. But just to piggyback what you said, like that's why he's so good. It's a nonstop thing in his head. Like he's not, yeah, he has his ideas, but the programming in his mind is ever living. It's changing. It's happening in the moment.
Yeah. Right?
And I feel like that's what good programming is. You can't be afraid to say you messed up. You can't be afraid to change something. You can't be afraid to be like, fuck that, this is working. We're going to roll with it again and again and again until it doesn't work. So that's, since we're talking about programming, I think that might be the, You just kind of fell into that conversation, but that's a big deal in my mind. Big deal.
You know, it can't be random either. It's got to be.
Yep.
It's got to be something that a reason to change.
Yep.
You know, what was okay? Because was it a stimulus issue? Was it a weight issue? What was it that forced you to change?
Yep.
And you got to be willing to know why you're changing it. You know, you got to know when to stick with it and know when to change it. But I think a lot of people, you know, because we talked about it earlier before we started this, is about you know, people change things just because.
Yep.
You know, like, why are you changing it? I just want to. Okay, yep. Well, you know, it happened to me earlier this week. Monday's workout took a little bit longer than I originally intended it to take. So then I had to change Tuesday's workout, change the rep scheme for Tuesday's workout in order to reduce the time domains that it was going to take. Because just based off what Monday took longer, I knew everybody would be a little bit more sore than I thought that they would be. And yep. I'm glad I did it, because then everybody hit the time domain that I wanted for that particular workout.
See, and you have to be, one, you have to be aware, and you have to be paying attention enough for that to happen. And two, you have to not have the ego about it. Like, you realize, like, shit, this didn't go the way I thought it would. I can change tomorrow to make sure I'm getting the best case scenario for my people.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, that's a good coach and a good programmer right there. A lot of people wouldn't even understand that if you tried to explain it to them.
Yeah. That's why I don't like, and that's what we, you know, we talked about earlier, with the online programs. That's why I don't like doing online programs. You don't know what their stimulus is. You don't know what, they may have wrote it down somewhere. Yeah. But you don't know what they're really trying to go yeah. for.
I think those are, if you have somebody running your gym, like a head coach or somebody that really understands programming and understands that, then they work. But if you just have somebody who wants to say they're a coach or a programmer and they're paying for online programming and they're just throwing it on the board, they don't understand how to tell their people, like, this is really what they're looking for, so we might have to change this for 10 different people.
Yep.
So those things are all great if you have somebody with the knowledge to relay the information,
mm-hmm.
you know, which a lot of cases, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You know, and then also you get people with egos that don't want to listen, even if you do yeah. know.
It all comes down to humbling yourself yeah. and sitting there. And again, if you don't know, like, I, you know, if you want to take a template from, you know, one of these online programs, that's great, you know, but you should be looking at the program. You should be printing off every page.
Yep.
And then putting them on a whiteboard and then sitting there and what was their intent here?
Yep.
You know, and if you can't see that in 3 weeks, you know, you need to go maybe take a seminar and try to sit there and say, hey, what were you doing? What was your thought process on this? You know, or pay the money that it costs to sit there and talk to, if you're doing Comp Train or if you're doing Mayhem Athlete or you're doing one of these other programs, you know, Mayhem Athlete, they're down the road.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Why not just go... If people are trusting you with their money, maybe you just spend an extra couple dollars and go down to the Cross of Mayhem and sit in there and follow in their stuff. Maybe spend a weekend down in Cookeville.
Shit, I want to go down there and do that, and I don't even follow their program.
You know,
I just want to understand what they're doing.
Pick their brain and find out what's their intent, where they're going with their ideas.
Yep.
You know, and people are paying you their money, people are trusting you with their time, they're trusting you they put their faith in you. You may need to go down there and learn.
Yep.
You know? So.
Yeah, learning and evolving in this. I mean, we've been doing this a long time. I mean, we come from the era of everybody teaching themselves.
Yep.
We had
to be all time self-taught.
Yes. Yeah. And we had no
all mistakes.
We all had no idea what we were doing. In the long run, it's great for people like us who want to help other people, because we have a bunch of mistakes
yeah.
to teach from. Mistakes that we made, mistakes that people we trained with made, our buddies, right? And then we try to learn and get better at this, but I think all the screw-ups that I've had in the past in training has helped me more than anything, because it's made me look for an answer or look for a better way to do something, you know? But that just, you know, rolls with what you were saying. I think going back to the CrossFit Games, let me ask you this. Now I'm going to ask you a question because you keep asking me questions.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, going forward, do you think, like, well, 16 events this year? Was it 18? What was it?
15 events.
What do you think is, like, a cap? Like, will he bump it up a day? Will he go to more events at some point? Will he get rid of that rest day? Will he go to less events? Do you think he'll ever mix up the programming that way?
I think...
Really, you know, throw people for a loop?
Yeah, I mean, you remember when it was just Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, and then he threw people for a loop with saying, hey, Monday we're meeting at, you know, we're meeting up at the beach. And they did that first swim event on the beach.
Yeah.
And it threw people for a loop just being out there. I think he is a, you know, Navy SEALs get, you know, everybody, like, they're the famous people right now. But one thing they know how to do, and anybody who runs an assessment course, whether it's SFAS, whether it's BUDS, whether it's Air Force, you know, what whatever the case may be, they just know how to get in people's heads. And by when people think that they know what he's going to do, that's when he's going to change it up. You know, he said they're paddling. Everybody assumed they were going to be the same old paddle boards this year. Turned out to be a kayak.
Yeah.
You know? I think he is... I think they're due for a change because it's been Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for a while now. I think a change is coming. I just can't tell you when because no one can read that man's head.
I wonder if he'll get rid of that rest thing. That might be the first thing.
I think that's kind of why they're thinking about leaving Madison. I wonder if it has something to do with permit issues and they want to find a place that they don't have to worry about that permit stuff, you know, where he can just get the permit for the water all week.
Now, how many?
And then they can't, like, Morning Chalk Up calls, you know, if you follow Morning Chalk Up, you see they already know when the swimming events are coming because the permits have to be filed and everything else.
Yeah.
So athletes can start seeing when events are coming. Now he's going to throw people for a loop. If he gets a place that he can just get a permit for the entire week, you don't know when that swim event's coming.
Yeah, that would be cool.
If it's coming.
That would be cool if you mix it up like that. Because it would be interesting to see if they had to do that swim in event 10 after being beat up by anything else.
I mean, 2019, that was they threw everybody for a loop. When they did the swim, was it 2019 or 2018? I can't remember when. But the swim event turned out to be on Sunday.
Yep.
You know? It was Frazier and Noah were going at it, that the swim event was on a Sunday. And usually the swim events are on the first day. And this year it was on the last day, and if you weren't a good swimmer, you were screwed because you had no time to make up those points once you lost them.
What year was the swim? They had the swim event in the pool, didn't they?
They did have the swim event in the pool.
With pull-ups or something?
Yep, bar muscle ups.
That's what I would like to see.
Swimming bar muscle ups.
I would like to see them go back to something like that. Go in a pool and have them come out and make. I don't care if it's dumbbell work, if it's rig work, if it's air squats. Just mix it up again a little bit. Like have, you know, make a MedCon with swimming in the middle.
They do have the University of Wisconsin there to use their pool. It's always a spectator issue, I think, but them.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're going to get them. Because, you put them in the pool, it's going to be fast.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole lot faster.
Yeah, just to mix it up. Just, you know, it'd be fun to watch people do that again.
Yep.
Because I remember that was actually exciting to watch.
It's always fun because, in the lake you can't see anything. That's why I don't even go to the lake events. You can't see them once they enter the water. You're just kind of standing there like an idiot, waiting for them to come out of the water. and even when they come out of the water, you just see them run by you real fast. So it's just like that's not even worth standing out here.
That's not fun at all.
Yeah. So I.
That's like a. And I'm not trying to insult anybody here, but like if you go to like a marathon or something. You're not really going to go unless you have a friend or family member.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to see them so
and even then, it's like, I'll be there 2 hours after it starts.
Yeah, you're trying to get on the course somewhere where you might be able to wave at them.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, like, that's not really fun. But, of course, you go if you're supporting somebody. But being a spectator at the games, the last event I'm going to go to is a lake swim.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Well, I mean, an open water swim. You just like kind of, where are they?
Yep.
And then you got one team with different colored caps because they're the leaders.
Yep.
That's it.
that's all you see.
You don't know anybody else.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. So, you got anything else to put out for about the comments on the games? I think I summed up all my points. I thought it was a well done, well programmed event. Probably one of the best programmed CrossFit games I've seen in a while. I thought it was way better than last year, but I mean, last year was always obviously very limited. But compared to 2019, if we're going to compare it to another Madison event, I thought it was way better programmed. And I thought 2019 was a great event, and I thought this year was even better. So I'm looking forward to what they come up with in the next couple of years. It should be a exciting turn of events for our sport.
Yeah, I thought it was good too, man. I just feel like there was more excitement around it with all the changes in CrossFit and coming out of COVID year, and maybe that's what made it more exciting, or maybe it was just even that much better of a job by everybody, or maybe it was a combination of both. I just feel like it was more fun this year. And I'm just watching it on a computer. I mean, you were there. So you've been to how many of them now?
That's my third time going.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
I hope hopefully they stay in Madison. I can just keep going.
Yeah. That is cool, though, man. A lot of people don't get to go to one. So
yeah.
I would like to go eventually, see what happens. But... that's on my bucket list. But no, that's it, man. And I guess we'll be seeing you in a weekend. You gonna go to Mayhem on the Mountain?
I'll be at Mayhem on
the
Mountain.
You're gonna be there?
Yeah, cool. We'll be down there too. So we'll be leaving here Friday and spend the weekend down there. So I'll see you down there. Good luck.
Yeah, same to you.
Yeah.
We'll have a beer afterwards. After I'm done smashing myself.
Hell yeah, brother. All right, man. You have a good one.
You the man.
What is going on, guys, and welcome back to the Create Lab Podcast. Today we got something new and different going on. We got Joe Blumenauer of Stay Relentless Athletic Performance joining us today as we talk about programming the CrossFit Games. So hope you enjoyed this edition of the Create Lab Podcast. It's just two bros sitting down talking fitness and talking about programming, how the CrossFit Games and our idea of what the CrossFit Games were and how they turned out. So hope you enjoy this edition. As always, guys, don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast, and we'll put out some new episodes every week from here on out. Okay, hope you enjoy.